It's that time, people. It's another live edition of the Highbury Squad. That's right, the train stops here and the conversation starts. Welcome to another edition of the Highbury Squad, joined by my podcast sister, Miss Amanda. Welcome. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. No more work. Woohoo.
So we're joined by one of our favourites. Okay, Super Kevin Campbell, by the way, couldn't be here. And no, he didn't bottle it, all right, just because the Liverpool legend that is Mr. Stephen, a.k.a. Stevie Super Nickel. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Hello, Stevie.
How you doing?
Do you remember the last time we chatted?
Oh, well, I do, but I couldn't see you the last time. At least I can see you this time.
I know. I've definitely got a face for radio, haven't I? what I wanted to say was, it was fantastic chatting to you. And when I advertised that you were coming on to all my Liverpool friends, they all said to me, I'm not allowed to talk to you about that goal in the last minute at Anfield in May, the 26th, 1989. I said I wouldn't, because I really like Stevie. So I said, instead of talking about it, I'm just going to show you something that I've got.
Oh, look. It's in black and white.
Steve?
I think he can.
My screen's gone black.
Is that a young Stevie Nickel by any chance?
No, I can't see him.
I can't see it.
Well, it's probably good you can't see it. It's a still photo of you and Mickey Thomas.
What a great way to welcome our guest and start the show. Hey, Stevie, she's got no decorum.
She did it the last time as well.
I know. Listen, it wouldn't be me if we didn't discuss that. Someone said to me on Twitter today, could you thank Stevie for not taking Mickey Thomas down? I went, I've already done that. I've had a whole debate with Stevie Nickel about why he didn't take.
If I'd been close enough to take him down, I would have done that.
Yeah. It was all too fast, she said to me. So I'm very pleased it was all too fast. Anyway, welcome to our show. Welcome back.
Isn't it great? Isn't it great? You're still hanging on to something all those years.
Oh, my life.
You're hanging on desperately to what, 31 years ago?
I'm hanging on.
Really well, if that's all you can come up with.
I'm hanging on to the best finish ever to a league season, and you know it.
Well, I've got bad news for you. I've got bad news for you. It's not the best ever. Man City,
No. You would say that. City were at home.
Your second best.
No, never. Never.
Wow. Anyway,
are you, Mr. Nickel?
It's a good job Kev's not here.
I'm fine.
Oh, it's so lovely to have you back with us, even though you are a red and we're the proper reds and you're like the pretend reds up north, you see.
Make your mind up. You're all nice and then you kill me and then you're all nice and then you slap him in the face again.
I mean, the rude is so rude. So rude, but, you know, what are we going to do? We got to put up with that.
Liverpool friends will hate me for absolutely disrespecting one of their favourite ex-legends ever, but they're not live. I am.
Does that mean no legend anymore?
Sorry, darling?
An ex-legend, you said?
No, an ex-Liverpool player, I meant. Yeah, you know you're a legend. Correct.
Well, you know what? How about we just move on? Because this... And by the way, it's banter, isn't it, really? Banter is another word for I don't know what. But anyway, Stevie, welcome to the show. Thank you. That took a lot of our valuable time, but it was worth it because it's going to make a great clip and we all know it. So, listen, you are, we play you twice in the next week, which is unbelievable. Who'd have thought those cards would stack up so early in the season? Great for fans. I wanted to ask you this first question to start off with. We beat you in the league in Project Restart and we also beat you in the Community Shield. And a lot of people were talking about, you know, Casey always says, I don't care whether people think it's a friendly when you're playing and you're playing against certain teams, you want to win. In the Community Shield, I think you didn't have Jordan Henderson and Trent Alexander-Arnold. What did you see from those two victories for us in terms of the Arteta Arsenal versus the Wenger and Emery teams that kind of had been thrashed and a bit humiliated against Liverpool. And going into this game, are you for the first time kind of worried that we might make it three in a row?
I'm glad you reminded me, because I'd forgotten that actually you'd beat us twice. So I'd totally forgotten about that. I think it's pretty clear the difference between Arteta and pre-Arteta. Mm-hmm. And the three of us, the last time I was on, were talking about how there was no backbone to Arsenal. And there was no like Tony Adams figure or a Vieira figure or somebody to pull everybody together on the field. Mm-hmm. The clear thing now is, even though there still isn't a Tony Adams or a Patrick Vieira, there is a strength defensively now that wasn't there before Arteta. It is now there. You know, they're hard to break down. You know, if you go through your, particularly your defence and your sort of midfield defenders, individually, they're not particularly brilliant. There's not one of them particularly great. But as a unit, they've been fantastic. And that's how you've ended up winning the FA Cup and you know, a huge part of the reason why everybody's given Arteta praise. And at the same time, we shouldn't forget that the front three, that's a nice little blend of being strong defensively and then being able to break on teams with quality and with loads of pace. So, listen, the Arsenal of pre-Arteta is way, way behind what Arteta's doing now with the same players, actually, pretty much.
It's true what you're saying is true. I think one of the first things Arsenal fans wanted to see, Stevie, was to see him shore up the defence, less mistakes, less vulnerability. I think the mental strength that he's already infused in such a short time is night and day compared to the Arsenal that we have been. And to beat the champions of Liverpool, champions of England, who were so dominant. I mean, you know, I know there's banter and we all laugh and joke and stuff, but Liverpool was sensational last season. And they have been for two seasons, but for a point, they would have won two Premier Leagues in a row. They won the Champions League. Our forward line now is coming under scrutiny a little bit, not because of Aubameyang, but one of the things that concerns me the most, and I'll throw it to Amanda in a bit here, is we seem to be stronger defensively, but creatively, when it seems to be the next frontier for Arteta. There's rumours about Usain Aouar coming in. We've been linked with some other players. I think Arsenal fans are a little bit alarmed about this Jorginho situation that's going on. How do you see us faring against an amazing defence in Liverpool? And do you agree that for us, the lack of creativity is probably the next big thing that Arteta has to take care of?
Well, I mean, the first thing I'll say about Liverpool's defence is it's not the defence that it was before the shutdown. Mm-hmm. You know, since they've actually won the Premier League, they've been very questionable. And the start of the season, first game against Leeds, the back line was absolutely horrendous. And they lost three goals and could have lost more. Mm-hmm. Now, Fabinho came in because of Gomez's injury. Now, whether he would have played centre-back at Gomez being fit, I don't know. But against Chelsea, it was way better. Mm-hmm. So the one thing I'm worried about playing Arsenal is the pace that they have going forward and the quality they have. Because if our back line, which is so high, isn't together and makes bad decisions, then we are going to be in big trouble. As far as where you are, That's the next step. You said it right at the end of your question, the next step. But it's not an easy step. You know, it's easier to get a group of players and bring them all together and give them mold them together, bring them all together and with one thing in mind, and that's to be solid and to play for the guy standing next to you. That's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And because you've got so much pace and quality with the front three, then that's a good place to be, because that means that you can just sit tight, wait for a mistake, and then bang, you kill teams. Mm. Now, I guess what you're talking about is, you know, how do you become Liverpool? It's very difficult because you've got to bring in, you've got to get a base, and Arteta right now has a really good, solid base. Now you've got to start adding the pieces. Mm-hmm. Now, does that mean that your young players begin to get more responsibility? Or does it mean you go and buy somebody? So that's the hard part for Arteta. And eventually, listen, eventually you can't keep sitting tight and just break it. You know, unless you want to be a Crystal Palace or whoever. Mm-hmm. That's the big problem Arteta's got. You guys want to be the Arsenal of old, the Arsenal, the team that were on the front foot, that were doing what Liverpool are doing now, and City a couple of years ago, what they were doing. That's where you want to be. You know, you understand, because you've had a few lean years, that it feels nice to win again. It feels nice to watch a team and think, I think we can get 3 points today, whoever we play. But I guess what you're talking about is, how do you take the next step? And that's a real tough one, a real tough one.
So what you've got at Liverpool is you've got the spine, haven't you? The back, the defence, the midfield, the front. What we've got is the back and the front at the moment. And he is building, you're right, he's got quite a few players in defence. There isn't one Virgil van Dijk or Tony Adams or that sort of, but he is moulding them. He is moulding them. That could be part of our spine. What we're desperately missing is that midfield, and that's why we're all desperate to get Partey in. And I understand what you're saying. And I think there's a little factor here of, with Arsenal, I'm not being detrimental to Arsenal fans, but I feel that with no fans at the moment, it's actually benefiting our club. Where mm-hmm. Liverpool, I feel it's the other way slightly. I'm not mm-hmm. saying you're doing badly, mm-hmm. but I feel that your fans at Anfield, I've been to Anfield quite a few times, and obviously I've watched loads on TV, and it feels like they actually spur them on. It's a bit different at our ground. We've got there's just not much atmosphere, and there's a lot of there's been a lot of vitriol, but now, really weirdly, if we all went back now, it would be like an Anfield, really, because we're all so behind Arteta. There isn't anyone that where it was like Wenger in, Wenger out, and all that nonsense. But he is building something, Stevie. He really is. And from day one, I've been excited about him. I've not got out of my tree and said we're going to win the league or anything like that. You know, I didn't even expect us to beat Chelsea in the FA Cup. But one of the things that I've really noticed that has really helped is our team spirit. Mm-hmm. How important is team spirit, Stevie?
Well, there's no better example than your team right now.
Yeah.
You saw the team before Arteta, and now you've seen the team after Arteta. And that's what team spirit is. Listen, every time Arsenal went away from home pre-Arteta, I had them down to get beat.
Yeah.
I didn't see how they were going to beat anybody, because they couldn't stand up. And you're talking about crowds. You know, they couldn't stand up to a team like Norwich, for example, because they had the crowd behind them, and Norwich were giving it a go. And it was, oh, we're away from home. And there didn't seem to be any sort of spirit. I mean, in the back of my head, I can see Alexis Sanchez at the end of a couple of games before he left with his head between his legs as if to say, what is that going on here? So, yeah, 100%. The team spirit is huge. And it comes back to what I said before. You know, individually, if you look at a lot of your players, they're not the greatest. With all due respect to them, as a unit, because of the spirit, it's they've all risen to it. It's huge,
absolutely. And the fact that Aubameyang has extended his contract speaks volumes for what is actually going on at our club now. 100%. Because with Aubameyang, he could have gone anywhere, and he is virtually world class now. He could have walked into any team. Yes, you're right. We don't have a team full of superstars like that, like we used to when Wenger joined us. I agree. But we've got some fantastic prospects, Stevie. Saka is just phenomenal. Martinelli, what we saw of him, hopefully he'll come back, you know, fitter than ever before. And it's really interesting you say I had them down to lose every away game. I had them down to lose every home game. And I'm a season ticket holder. I'm not joking. That's not even me being funny. We used to sit there and we used to think, teams used to come to us and not be scared anymore. Not be scared. They just knew how to play us, you know. But now, you know, yes, we did beat you in the league, and obviously it was different circumstances. And obviously your run of form last season up to, say, January time was absolutely phenomenal. It was insane to watch. You know, as a rival fan, I was jealous of your football. Your front three alone. I've always loved Henderson. Van Dijk and Trent. I mean,
on the compliments. Easy.
You know, I love how Liverpool play. I can't help it. I do. And I enjoy watching City as well. But I just feel that the second half of the season, you died a little bit. It was like it was won, and you just needed to win it a little bit. But when we played you,
I can assure you, whenever it's done and dusted, there's a complete and utter emotional and different thought process when you're going on the field. When I joined Liverpool, I think it was season 82, we won the league 5 games before the end of the season. And we got 1 draw and 4 defeats out of the last 5, I think it was. Because it's just not the same. The motivation changes. Yeah. Every single thing changes. Now, unfortunately, the worst part of that is you can get into bad habits, and it's pretty much they haven't got out the bad habit of the defensive line, because that's the only difference between Liverpool of then and now. And if they can sort that, then there's no reason why they can't go on and win the title again. But it's completely different. It really is.
Of course. You'd won it. It was all just
It was just about closing out the season. I think I would be looking forward to this game a little bit more, Amanda, but for one signing. And I think there's a difference and a shift in Liverpool's potential, believe it or not. They're fantastic and they're an amazing team and the core is incredible. Trent Alexander-Arnold, to me, has become a world-class player. But I think one of the things, a little bit like us, at times in midfield, they lacked that creativity, that plan ABC, when things maybe weren't going, you know, right for them in games in Project Restart. Like, we're looking to add Usain Aouar or something a little bit extra, you know, re-signing Ceballos, I think, was really important. But Stevie, signing Thiago is incredible because you saw what he did in 45 minutes against Chelsea. He had more completed passes. He had more impact than the entire Chelsea team, which was incredible. We've seen what he's done at Barcelona. We've seen what he's done at Bayern Munich. Dare I say that he has now added another layer of X factor for Liverpool. And in essence, I think for us, that's exactly the kind of player we're looking for too. Talk us through a little bit about him, the flavour he adds to your midfield and maybe kind of, you know, elevating you to another level this season.
You know, I think we should be a little cautious here because, listen, the theory and the practical can sometimes not be the same. I don't disagree with one word you said about the possibilities of what signing Thiago does, because now you're thinking, my goodness, they've got everything. They've got the power and the running in the middle of the park. Now they've got a guy in between the three who's going to be picking passes and creating chances and setting the world on fire.
Mm-hmm.
But the theory doesn't always match up. You know, Liverpool's three, the 2 years where they were absolutely an insane form, it was about the three in the middle doing the donkey walk.
It's true.
They're good players. Mm-hmm. But the three in the middle would run their socks off, close the ball down, and just give it to the front three. And Liverpool were insane. So some would say that's a little scary. And I understand why you do it, because on the face of it, it makes a lot of sense. You want to get a little bit more creativity. Now, the problem is, are they going to lose something defensively in the middle of the park?
Mm-hmm.
When Thiago, is he going to be able to do do half the running that somebody else would have done? Is it going to affect the outcome of you know, and we're talking about 2 or 3 points. You know, 2 years ago it was 1 point Liverpool lost. The thing about it, if they're going to try and create more but lose more goals defensively, is that going to be a good thing or a bad thing? And I think it's a little early.
You think it makes you more vulnerable then? You think it could make Liverpool more vulnerable by having that creative player? Because it's true, that midfield was like the Great Wall of China. I mean, it was incredible. And they afforded that front three to kind of be who they wanted to be. No, go on, mate.
No, this game's going to be perfect because we don't know whether he's going to start Thiago or not. And if he does, we will see, because you're going to have a good line. You're going to be sat tight. You're going to be. Is he going to be able to do anything to stop you getting from the middle of the park and getting at Liverpool? Because that's what the game plan is going to be, and that's generally what most teams' game plan is against Liverpool right now. They have to sit tight and break.
I want to switch it a little bit to us, because one of the players that has become beloved very quickly, and you probably have seen him maybe even as a youngster, I don't know, hence asking the question. He's the number one selling shirt for Arsenal after Project Restart is Kieran Tierney. You know, he's got that realness about him, down to earth. You know, I think Arsenal fans super fell in love with him when he was holding his Tesco bag coming out the team coach. tell us a little bit about Tierney, being a fellow Scot, and what you think of him.
Well, I think he's only going to get better. He's only been here, what? I mean, in terms of playing, 6 months because of his injuries and stuff. So he's actually hardly played. He hasn't played that many games for you. And he's going to get way better. You know, in Scotland, he was used to having an easy Saturday afternoon, basically. You know, he was used to kind of, all Celtic did was go forward and play in the other half. You know, his game's going to elevate, because now he's going to have to do all kinds of different things, because it's not going to be a cakewalk. He's going to have to work hard. And when you work hard, then you're learning all the time. So you're saying he's a favourite now. I'll be interested to see how far he goes this and see where he is this time next year, because, you know, already you can rely on him, he can defend, he can get forward, he can put good balls in the box. But he gets on with it. He's like an old fashioned player.
Yeah.
He gets his head down, gets on it, is not interested in all the stuff around it, just wants to go out on a Saturday and get on the field and play with his teammates and do well for everybody. I mean, he's a classic old school Scot. Basically.
Do you know what he reminds me of? He reminds me of an extreme professional. He's not in the media. He doesn't do social media. You're never going to read about him. He's just going to get on with his football. And it's interesting. Someone in our live chat said, how important is Tierney to our play? I mean, he's so important to us. And in a very small amount of time, he has become so important to us. So we'd like to thank...
Especially if you have Kolasinac, who's the backup. He's exceptionally important.
You just reminded me of something there. Somebody said to me recently, he said, you know, when I used to go and watch the football in the 80s, he said, from Saturday to Saturday, I had no idea what anybody did or what anybody was doing. All I did was a song on the Saturday and they played and that was it. He says, now I'm sick. He said, I'm sick of looking at them all on Instagram and Facebook and tweeting, and they're everywhere. He said, just play football. And that's human. Just play football.
Exactly. And that's what we want. The less they're on social media or in the media, the better for us. So, Stevie, we, as I said, we've got quite a few Liverpool friends between us. And one of my close friends has sent a question in for you. So it says, being a season ticket holder at Anfield for over 40 years and seeing the power Anfield can have, how does he think no fans will affect teams? Funny enough, I mentioned this, didn't I, before? In particular, this Liverpool side, who under Klopp has fed off his energy and enthusiasm, which seems to be in tune with that of the crowd and has fed off each other. With the above in mind, apart from Anfield, which ground did he feel had the most intimidating atmosphere when he played? Personally, his was Goodison when in full voice. The old Upton Park and Roker Park always seemed loud as an away fan.
Well, I'll answer the second one first. To be honest, I never, the only place I can remember being intimidated about, well, actually, there was two. One was a Scotland under 21 game in Italy.
Oh, where okay.
We were in the middle of nowhere, and between the field and the crowd was about, it was like being at West Ham. The problem is,
yeah,
the crowd weren't quite as kind as the West Ham fans used to be. From Liverpool, I remember being on the bench in a place called Sofia.
Yeah.
Back in the day, behind Iron Curtain, and everybody was wearing brown and black and grey and green, and there was nothing else. And then, of course, they scored, and then all the flares. You couldn't even see the crowd for the flares and the smoke. That's the only one I can ever really remember, and I wasn't actually playing because, touch wood, I was just got on with my job, and if there was a background noise, the louder the better.
Yeah. But, and what about what he said about Klopp and being at Anfield?
Right. Absolute 100% agree. You know, yeah. You know, instead of this is back to point because I can see myself. Instead of being the away team and you're Liverpool at home.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of does that a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I said.
And if you look at the Premier League, that there's been a lot of certainly a lot more away wins than there used to be. And it has to be because of the crowd. Has to be.
Yeah. It's funny, actually, because I didn't read his question until just before, but I said that to you, didn't I? I said, I feel Liverpool will struggle a bit more and Arsenal will probably benefit because they can hear Arteta. But thank you, David, for your question. I've got another one for you, and I've had to sort of work out what he's trying to say. Got another friend called John, who, what? Another big season ticket holder.
You need subtitles to translate John's questions.
Yeah. John wants to know that when you arrived at Liverpool, is this a true story that when you turned up, you couldn't say chips, you said chups or chicken and chups? He wants to know if that's a true story.
Well, what happened was I was the newbie, you know, 19 years old, and amongst a bunch of complete and utter professionals, both on and off the field, who could wind anybody up for no apparent reason. So we're sitting having and I like my food, I like my nosh.
Yeah.
And I'm sat on the Friday night before we're playing on the Saturday, and we're away at the hotel. So it's 7 o'clock. Go down, have your dinner, and of course. The waitresses and the waiters are coming round with the food, and of course the guy's got a huge big tray of chips, like our proper chips. And of course I'm sitting there, and I didn't know, but Terry Mack had tipped them off not to give me any, just to keep walking past me. So every time the guy or the girl or whoever it was coming near me, I was like this, getting ready. Oops, a daisy.
Someone putting in a tackle. Over there.
every time whoever it was getting ready to give me some, I was like, this. And then he would keep going by me. So initially I went like that. Must have been a mistake. Then the second time it happened, I was starting to get a bit fidgety. Then the third time I'm going, hey, get the chips over here. Of course, to Terry Mack, it sounded like chops. So that was it. Chops.
Oh, chops. So it is a true story.
It is, yes.
Oh, John will be really pleased about that. Right. And we have got a message from Super Kev for you, and I've got to play it. Hold on. And right. You know, I'm not very good at stuff like this. So
here we go. Amanda and technology. This is going to be great. I'm on standby here.
Wait, just shush.
Hi, everybody on the Highbury squad. Hi, Steve. How are you? Hope you're well. Here's a question for you, Steve. How do you compare this Jurgen Klopp side with the great teams you played in for Liverpool? And do you feel that Jurgen Klopp can emulate the consistency of the past? I know for the last two seasons they've been very consistent, but obviously we know the likes of Manchester City and other teams are going to be coming at them anyway. So we know it's a different era, but I just wanted your thoughts on that. Okay, take good care, everybody, and sorry I couldn't be on with you. Look after yourselves. Bye.
That's our Kev.
Yep, Kev. You know, the truth of the matter is it's very difficult to compare eras, but you can only be the best in your era. And right now, Liverpool are the best. So absolutely, they compare to teams previous to the one I was in and to the one I was in also. So yep. 100%, no question. It's a different game now. I'd like to. It'd be interesting to pitch the two sides together, the way they play now and the way we played, because it's a completely different game. You know, can you imagine back in our time trying to pass the ball out from the back? I mean, it would have been absolute chaos. Sometimes yeah. chaos already, but and a lot of that's to do with the ball. You know, the pitch is so wide now because everybody can hit a 60-yard pass. I mean, there's not a player can't hit a 60-yard pass because mm-hmm. of the ball we use now, and that's completely changed it, completely opened it up, which is why they can pass it out from the back. We could never do that because you would just get the life squeezed out of you. So it would have been interesting to see the sides playing each other.
Yeah, they should do a virtual, like one of those virtual, you know, the way they do with the NFL and stuff like that, virtual comparisons. That would be really super interesting. It's true. Not only the ball, but the boots, everything's changed about the when you were playing compared to, I'd like to see them play with that ball and those boots, you know, a little bit more. But
here's a classic. I don't know whether you saw Phil Foden's goal yesterday that won the game mm-hmm. for City. Now, if he had hit that ball like the old tango we used to play with, the way he did,
yeah,
the goalie would have thrown his hat on it. You know, because he absolutely hit it all wrong. He's hit it into the ground, and because it's so soft and pliable, the thing's bounced over the goalkeeper. You know, you couldn't get away with that with the old tangos and some of the other cabbages that teams used to throw. Every time we used to go to West Brom or places like that, we'd be kicking a cabbage around. There'd be no air in it. It was just ridiculous.
Yeah, so, it's so true.
So many changes.
Yeah.
I've got one here as well.
Here's one from Gareth. He asks, is Stevie concerned that a centre-back hasn't been bought as there is significant reliability on Virgil van Dijk and having to put a midfielder into the back four? Your thoughts on that one, Stevie?
Yeah, listen, we're never happy as fans, are we? We're always wanting something else. I mean, Liverpool is so good, but yeah, I'm going to say that I would like another centre-back. I mean, how cheeky is that? But I guess that's how we think. Listen, Gomez, when he's on his game, is more than adequate to play centre-back. But unfortunately, every now and again, he goes to sleep a little bit and isn't quite at it. So, listen, you're always looking to be perfect. And I guess if I had a wish list, then it would be a Koulibaly, for example, or Upamecano who's playing in Germany right now. So
we'll take either one of those too. We'd like either one of those, that's for sure, right, Amanda?
Okay. Well, Upamecano is only 21 years old, so
it's class.
I guess he's the one you really want then. And yeah. You've got him for the next 9-10 years.
So, Stevie, we've got another question that I think is quite interesting from DJ Blackbeard on our hybrid squad. It said, if you had to choose, would it be Dalglish, Rush or Barnes?
Which one of your children do you love the most? It's one of those.
What an absolutely impossible question.
Go on,
Go on, come on. You know you want to.
Oh, no, listen, if you're going to push me, then there's only one King Kenny. But
yeah.
I mean,
he said that, actually. He said, for me, it would be King Kenny, even though he's an Arsenal fan. I think Dalglish is just an absolute unbelievable legend, isn't he, for every football fan. Absolutely. Let me just see if I've got any more, because so many people wanted to ask you a question. I've got to see. Sorry, I'm not organised.
Well, Colorado Guna wants to know, and what I love about our show is that, you know, we love talking to players from other teams, and especially when we're coming together to play. Liverpool and Arsenal have so many legendary games together and stuff like that. So we love that our listeners are getting stuck into all of this as well. Colorado Guna would like to know, what was the most memorable match you played in? I think Amanda could answer this one for you, but we'll let you answer it instead.
Which is it,
Stevie? Which on jokes
what was
aside?
Your, all right, so if you can't decide, what was your favourite one then?
Mm-hmm. I can't decide. I mean,
one of your
favourites. I've got so many good memories. It's hard to pick one over another one.
What's the one where you scored that wonder goal? You hit a.
What, the header, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, for example, I mean, how do you put that? I mean, scoring a diving header against Everton at Anfield in front of the cop.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all those things are just phenomenal.
Okay, I mean, so bearing in mind what you just said, there's a question from my friend called Paul, who's a Scouser as well, at Red Conno. He said, ask Stevie, if his header in the 87-88 season opener at Highbury in our 2-1 win was his best, diving header from about 40 yards. Couldn't see the rest of the game as I celebrated so much my glasses fell off and were trampled on the floor. I mean, obviously, I don't want to talk about that because it's a Highbury game, but was it one of your best?
Yeah, obviously it was one of the best. A bit unique. You don't very often score headers from that sort of distance. But do you know, it's funny that I've actually scored a lot of different types of goals, and they actually all mean a lot to me. You know, I scored a goal against Norwich. A ball's absolutely rattled across the box. It's hit a bump right on a 6-yard box. It's jumped up right in my groin area, and somehow I've managed to get in a position where I've got the inside of my left peg on it. And so for different reasons, they mean more. You know, some are more like the header against you lot's obviously spectacular. Obviously my first goal away at QPR. I think it was Huckabee? What was the goalie's name back there?
QPR. Anyway,
he made a complete and utter mess of it. I hit a shot on the old horrible AstroTurf pitch. I hit this shot from about 25 yards, and he should have thrown his hat on, and somehow it ended up going in the back of the net. And that was me off and running, scoring that goal. I just, all of a sudden for me, here, I can play here. I can play.
You know, wow.
Scabby goal, but it meant so much to get me going and feeling. Because when you're a young player and you're joining, particularly a big team and a successful team, you'll always wonder, am I ever going to fit in? Am I ever going to be able to do what you're going to do? So, as crappy as a goal it was, it's one of my favourites because it got me up and running.
Yeah. Was it on their old? Was it on the AstroTurf? They had. Yeah. All right. So I'm going to bring this back. We've got Stevie for a few more minutes here on the Highbury squad. You can catch Stevie on ESPN FC on ESPN Plus. With Craig Burley and Shaka Hislop, and great group, great show. Love listening to these guys. Craig's promised us that he's going to come on, Stevie.
Good.
So you better put in a word for us, right? I'm not sure if he feels safe, but maybe you can reassure him about that. Okay, bringing it back to the game, big game on Monday night. We've got the Carabao Cup game. It was a phenomenal game last year in the Carabao Cup. I want to ask you as a defender a little bit about our defence in terms of in terms of Jorginho. And this rumour about Jorginho, what worries me about this is that the players that we've really been going after, it might not look like that's going to happen, so we're kind of moving to a plan B. Jorginho is one of those players that divides opinion. A lot of people think we already have a Jorginho in Xhaka. What's your thoughts, Stevie, on this link with Jorginho? Are you surprised?
I hadn't heard it. To be honest, before I came on and started talking to you, I hadn't heard it. But I have to say, why do you want Jorginho?
I agree.
Why do you want him? I mean, he's not Kevin De Bruyne going forward, and he's not Fabinho defensively, he's kind of somewhere in the middle of an okay player. I mean, what's his actual strength? I'm not quite sure what his strength is. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand why you would want him. So it doesn't make any sense to me. I'm not a huge fan of Jorginho. So
you're a naughty bugger sometimes, aren't you? What do you think our biggest threat is for Monday? The Carabao Cup is going to be different because we're both going to have a lot of changes, right? That's going to be one where we get to see, you know, different players who are trying to burst through into the first team. But Monday, what do you feel is the biggest threat that we present to you, other than Aubameyang, which is the obvious?
Well, the threat is just your pace on the break. I hope you don't sit too far, too deep, because there's no question you're going to pick a line and you're going to be solid. I hope you don't go too deep. I shouldn't say that. I actually hope you go too deep. You know, the problem is if you go too deep, then you're going to be picking the ball up, I don't know, 65, 70 yards for goal all the time. So mm-hmm. that's going to be a problem for you. But you can't get past the pace of your front three and the way that you break. Certainly since Arteta's been here, the way you break has been phenomenal and you give any defence nightmares. You've got to hope Liverpool's got a bad line. And if they do, then you will be a huge threat, no question. My worry for you is if we score early, what do you do? Because all your big results have been through real solid defensive performances and then scoring on the break.
If you score early, we will come out. We're not a defensive team. So if you score early, it could be a very high scoring game. But you know, it's really odd, Stevie, at the moment, because we just can't call it. You know, when we played Fulham, we were just fantastic football. When we played about West Ham, we were dire. But we won, and those are the sort of games we would have drawn or definitely lost the last couple of seasons. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that was a little, you know, sometimes you can be riding high, a bit cocky, a bit better than you think you are. You come out against a team and it just doesn't work. So it was good that it happened then. Hopefully when we play you on Monday night, it won't be how I would have assumed it would have been last year, like us losing 5-0 or something. Mm. It's going to be a really, really close game. What's your prediction for Monday night?
I'm going to say 2-1 or 3-1 Liverpool. I think you'll score. I'm not convinced our back line is particularly solid right now. And you've got too much pace and ability, as I've said before, that, you know, you don't need that many chances, your front three, to take advantage. So I think Liverpool's going to lose a goal, but I think we'll score. I think Liverpool's going to score a couple anyway. So I'm going to say 2-2 or 3-1.
So you can't see us even, because my prediction's 2-0. I feel like we could get that. I feel like we've got it in us to get that. I watched you against Leeds. I didn't see your last match, but I feel like we could, and I'm quite interested to understand.
If we defend against you the way we did against Leeds,
you'll be in trouble.
You'll score 4 or 5.
That's what I was going to say to you, because we've got a little bit of a better front 2 or 3 and strikers on the bench. You know, forget Aubameyang at the moment, but we've got others that are not as good, but, you know, good strikers that could do damage. And I feel a little bit... I was a little bit, my back went up when you went 2-1, 3-1, because I thought to myself, okay, I think we've got a chance at Anfield, if I'm honest.
I'll go back to what I said a couple of minutes ago. It depends where your starting line is. If you're defending on the edge of the box, then, you know, as high as the line might be or whatever, then it's a long way to go to score. There's going to be opportunities for defenders to get back and get some challenges in. So if you sit too deep, then you certainly won't get as many chances.
No.
So it really is the key to you, in my opinion, to scoring goals against us is not to be sitting on the edge of your box.
We can't.
Absolutely.
No, it's just inviting a disaster. And also Leno's under a tremendous amount of pressure now, Stevie, with, you know, I think Emmy kind of grew on the fans and people, they loved him. And there were a lot of fans that were disappointed to see Emmy go. And I think that added a lot of pressure to Leno. We saw that in the game against West Ham. He made a couple of really bad decisions coming out when he shouldn't have, could have really badly injured his shoulder on one of the crosses that he came out for too. So that presents a whole other different problem as well. Before we let you go, I wanted to ask you one more question, because a lot of Amanda and Kevin have said on our show a few times that right now Arteta's kind of playing a little bit of George Graham football. There's a little George Graham in him, but there's the Arsene Wenger deep inside that's just bursting to come out. Would you agree or disagree with that?
No, I totally agree. And I think Arteta's been smart, because the players I'm one of those, I guess you're either one or the other. I'm a guy who, you play what suits the players you've got.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless, you know, I hear all these coaches going, well, my principals will never let me play this way. What an absolute lot of nonsense. The cards that you're dealt, you can only play, right? And so what Arteta's doing now is doing that, and he's using every ounce of his coaching ability and his organisation, and he's clearly got a good way with the players. So he's getting everything out of the players he has at his disposal right now. So 100%, he understands that if they open up and play, they're going to lose a lot of goals. But he also understands that, well, if we keep it tight with the pace and with the front three we have, then we're going to pick up wins. And at the end of the day, fans, players, whatever, we want wins. We want to win games.
Yeah.
And if we win ugly, you know what? We'll take it. So he's absolutely got a little bit of George in him. But I think if he gets the players, if you start building, then he will, no question, be able to open up and start playing.
Do you think we'll qualify for top four?
I don't think so. And I'll tell you why. Because of the way you play right now. Mm-hmm. You know, as I said before, all your big results have come from sitting tight and breaking. You can't do that when you're playing at home to Aston Villa and teams like that, who you're expected to beat. You're expected to go and open up and play against them. And it's hard to do that when you've got, you know, Granit Xhaka and Elneny, who do a great job defensively in the middle of the park, but they're not guys that are going to open up defences. So kind of typically, the thing that usually hurts you most is what you're good at, and what you're really good at is having a real tight base, a good line, and then going from there. But you can't do that when you're playing at home against Villas and Crystal Palace and teams like that. And that's one of the reasons why I don't think that you'll get in the top four.
Amanda, I'm throwing it over to you, but I'm going to squeeze in one more, seeing as we have him before he goes off for some Friday fun. Do we finish above Spurs this season, Stevie?
It's going to be tight, isn't it?
It is. As we sit now with the team we have.
I think, to be honest, I think I did a predictor early on in the season, and I actually had Spurs fifth, and I think I'd use sixth. But it could flip flop.
Yeah.
I don't see it the other way around, though. Not right now.
Unfortunately, they've got such a great player in Son. I just don't want him to play for them anymore. He's such a good player. He really, really, really is. But I agree with you. We will flip-flop. It'll be us and them during the season, replacing one up, one down. It'll be like that. But, it's just been so lovely. Do you have to go, Stevie? Do you want to leave
us? We're sticking around, but we realise you're a very busy man.
I'm going to take the dog for a walk.
What's your dog called?
Lottie.
Mickey.
I thought it was going to be Mickey.
it's only called Mickey when I need to kick it.
Oh, yeah. And then you miss.
Oh, man. Stevie, you are such a legend. Thank you so much.
I love that you're in my house, Stevie. Look,
every day she looks
house.
At you. She does one of these, you know, one of these.
That screen's going blank again.
Well, it's you, Hanson, and Mickey Thomas.
I'm going to tell you, we called him Lester when he played for us.
Why?
Sorry, what?
We used to call Mickey Lester.
Why? Oh,
go on, I like this. Where's this going?
Lester Piggott.
Uh-huh. Oh, the old jockey.
Yeah, we couldn't understand what he said.
Do you know what? I could never understand that. The player that broke your hearts, all of you, and then he goes and plays with you. It's amazing.
Did you want to kick him when you did you kick him when you first
did
saw
you kick him in training?
No, not at all.
How could you didn't catch him?
Hilarious. Stevie, thanks a lot. You can, as I said, check Stevie out on ESPN FC. Great show. His insights are always honest. And I love it, especially when he gets all riled up and has a bit of a rant.
Someone in our chat has said this about you and so I don't watch it, sorry, but someone about you and a Real Madrid fan or a commentator. Or
no, it was Julian. Was it Julian Laurent? I think you went at it. That-
Oh, yeah, well,
I love
you on ESPN.
I've had a few with a couple of different ones.
Well, look, go enjoy your Friday. Enjoy your walk with your dog. And thanks a lot, Stevie. Thanks a lot, mate. We'll talk to you soon.
Nice to see you again.
Stay safe and healthy.
Ta-da.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
See ya.
See ya. The legend shutting down right there. Look at that.
I'm going to break in your house and burn that picture.
I've got quite a few pictures. Every time you come on, I'm going to show you some.
I bet you get some of your handbag, and every time you go out to the pub or something, you gain them.
She whips out her 89 portfolio.
Stevie, I don't have many Liverpool pictures in my house, but that's one of them. Yes,
fantastic. Au revoir, Stevie.
I can't even shut you down. I can't even get
the I'll remove you. I'm going to remove you. I'll remove you. Here we go. Ready?
You.
Three, one. Two, one.
Bye. Oh, I love him. That's his second appearance on the Highbury squad. And this time we saw him. Last time it was just audio.
And I interviewed him a few times for the old pod as well. He's been so supportive. He's been so good to me and, you know, just a top-notch human being and good all-round guy, right, Amanda? We adore
Absolutely
having him on.
Absolutely, we do. And, you know, it's so interesting having other legends from other clubs. I love them all, just not Tottenham. But
no.
I don't mind anyone else. But, and we're also missing Casey.
We are.
I hope he's having a very nice time, Kevin.
I wonder.
Be back at 10 o'clock.
He hasn't sent his prediction, by the way, so we don't have... Did he mention it? He didn't mention it on the previous pod either, did
he? No, because I said 2-0 and you both told me to be quiet because we were going to do it on this one, but I am sticking with 2-0. What's yours? I'm being positive and going
Let me. Okay, so I think we both agree that we would rather win this game and lose the Carabao Cup match, right? This is the most important game. Getting 3 points and winning at Anfield. It's a game changer, Amanda.
Yes, it is. But I like to win trophies too, even if it's the League Cup. So I agree with you. This is more important. We need the 3 points. And imagine how much that will boost our morale even more if we a hat-trick of Liverpool wins in the last couple of months.
I think we're set out in them, right? Imagine if we win at Anfield and get 3 points and we've already beaten
them
twice.
Twice in that week, next week. It'll be like,
that's
amazing.
A tough one. Well, and we don't know because that Carabao Cup game last season was insane, wasn't it?
I know,
I loved that game.
We should have won it.
I know, we should have.
For the penalties. But it was great. So are we playing Wednesday as well? Is it Monday and Wednesday? They might as well stay in Liverpool, to be honest.
Is it Thursday? I think it's Thursday, yeah. Well, yeah, they could. They could stay, I think. Well, it's a different team as well, remember? So,
but the last time we pod, we stopped before the Leicester game, so we can talk about that as well because I actually thought we played quite well. I did get to watch it, and I was quite impressed. And I tell you what I loved. I loved Eddie's hunger. I loved it. I loved Eddie's hunger. And
I was spewing about Pepe, by the way.
Yeah, we had a bit of a debate that went on too long about Pepe. Let's just face the facts that me and Kev want to give him time and you're not so sure.
It's too funny. That was too funny. Eddie is a different beast over the last few months, isn't he? His confidence, you can see it. He believes in himself so much, but Arteta's added a whole other level of confidence to that kid. And I love the way he comes on, Amanda, and he does his job, i.e. when we need a goal, he can make that happen in the Premier League, but also in these cup games.
Yeah.
He's becoming a bit of a leader up front, isn't he?
But you know what? And I say this till I'm blue in the face. I say it most pods. If you respect and like your manager, you want to work for your manager. Mm-hmm. You want to prove to your manager. You want to show him how good you are. The team spirit, as you know, we were talking to Stevie about, is sky high. A lot of that is Aubameyang as well, and Lacazette, and they're. I just think they're fun. You know, you can watch their social media posts and it's fun. And they're all bantering and they're all like brothers. It's fantastic to watch. And I just feel that Eddie is given a chance. You know, Arteta will believe in our academy boys and he does bring forward. He does not care about names, because if he did, Ozil would be playing. He hasn't got a fear of you're not playing because of who you are. You know, I'm not saying Arteta is the saviour, but we're all behind him. We're all positive. No way 8 months ago would I thought we had a chance going to Anfield with or without fans. No way. But I really believe we've got a chance Monday. I could be wrong. We could lose 5-1. But I just, it's nice to actually feel that you've got a chance.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've proven that we can play against them. And when we've played against them this year and beaten them twice, we've played against their best. They were missing a couple players. But you know what? The way that Arteta set the team up, you know, I think I do agree with Stevie. I think we've got to be really careful here. It's a new season. I think Klopp has learned a lot from those two games. And I think, you know, for the first time in a long time, I'm not saying they fear us, but they'll be weary of us, because mentally, you know, we've beaten them twice the last time we faced them. And that comes into play a lot. And if we go a goal up, you know, that will set some doubt into them as well. And we're a different team now. We're a completely different team, not only physically, but mentally. And I think that's one of the things that I've been impressed with the most, is that we don't give up. Our heads don't go down now. We overcome adversity and matches a lot better, right?
You know, when Stevie said, if we go a goal down, what will happen? And I was thinking, well, that won't be the end of the world for us, because we seem to be okay with that at the moment. But I do believe that if we score first, we got a massive chance, because the fact that they'll have to come out to us, then it will leave space for us. And I think it's going to be a really good game. The shame the fans are not there. You know, it would have been a match I would have gone to. But it is what it is, and we have to get on with it. And it's going to benefit us that it's an empty Anfield. Empty.
I know. I completely agree with that. We've been a team that has benefited greatly from no fans. But also, I love watching it, because I enjoy watching Arteta dictating the composition. He's composing from the sidelines. You can hear him, you know. And I think that we have benefited from that more than any other team, I think, in that top 10. We finished eighth last season, but the dude came in December. We were a broken team. We were on our knees. The spirit was gone. The culture dead. And he's been able to reinvigorate us to the point where he took us to a final. We won the FA Cup. We beat City. We beat Chelsea. We beat Liverpool.
But you're
twice.
Missing in
we
between.
Forgot, man, you're not-
but you're on. Missing in between all this. Sorry, Soph, that the fact that he was with us December. COVID comes in the end of February, beginning of March. He catches COVID. He has to get through that. Then he's got, no one knows if we're going to play again. He's been through the mill with us. And he's had a tough year as well. But what I would like to say is, you can just tell everyone wants to play for him. Mm-hmm. I don't see any fans that are not behind him. I feel that he's just instilling. He is. The Wenger, the George Graham. We need both. We need both. And that's that. And I love he's played under Wenger, and I love that he worked under Pep. Sorry, but I think they're two of the best managers. So I'm pleased with that. I'm pleased.
Yeah, I think what's important is that, you know, it player-wise, personnel-wise, Amanda, going into this season, I think the West Ham game was a bit of a wake-up call in the sense that, you know, Tierney's very important. Maitland-Niles has become very important to this team because of the versatility that he brings. He's like a hybrid. He can play in so many different positions. I think we're seeing a little bit more of the good side of Bellerin, which is a good thing. I think now it just needs to be more consistent. You know, Gabriel started off quite well. He's imposing. He's got that strength, that height. He seems to have that durability. Positionally, I think he's really super smart. David Luiz has shown himself as a leader, maybe sometimes not on the pitch, but off the pitch. I'm so here for the Aubameyang, Willian, Gabriel, David Luiz Instagram posts as well, because that ties into the team spirit you said. And I think right now our biggest challenge is going to be the midfield. And if we can address that before the close of this window, you know, we can really fight for that top four place. What I don't want to see happen, Amanda, and before we start ducking out ourselves here this Friday, and thanks to everyone for joining us on a Friday. We know it's not easy to join us, but all those who are listening on replay as well, thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate you. We're going to be bringing more live shows, but we also are putting the live shows on audio, so you'll be able to catch them on iTunes and Spotify and all of our other platforms So I don't want a meltdown. I wanted to talk to you about this before we went. Everything's positive right now, but everyone's so obsessed. One of the things I just can't stand seeing on Twitter right now is, you know, have we signed Wissam Aouar yet? Have we signed Partey yet? If we don't get either one of those two players, what I don't want to see happen is this meltdown and then people starting to point the finger and say, well, the owners don't believe in Arteta, because it's all going to be a load of bollocks, right?
Well, it's interesting. Let me just stop you there, because Colorado Gooner on our live chat said, would you sacrifice Laka if there was the only way we could get Aouar, I don't even know how you say his name,
Aouar
and Partey? Would you sacrifice Laka?
Now, you know how I feel about Laka. I love him. To me, he's our Bobby Firmino. What he does off the ball is so selfless. Now, he's also started scoring a few more goals in the last couple of games. And that, I think that's the thing that Arsenal fans have an issue with Lacazette, is that he doesn't score enough. But neither does Firmino. He's not Salah and he's not Sane. And I think Lacazette complements, whether it's Willian, he definitely complements Aubameyang. Aubameyang is a super happy player with Lacazette in the side. And the things that he does off the ball are just really fundamental to the team. I think Arteta believes in him. But like Emi Martinez, I think Arteta knows that in order to strengthen the side in other areas, they're going to have to be sacrifices. I would prefer that we sold Kolasinac, Socrates, Chambers, and got somehow a culmination of dollars there that would equal to what Lacazette would maybe be sold to Juventus or an Atletico Madrid or a team like that. I think the lucky thing on our side is that because of COVID and lack of finances, maybe Lacazette would have been picked up by another team right now. But it's not easy out there, is it? So I think Partey's the player that could change. I think he's the player that we've missed for years and years and years in our midfield. But I don't know if I'd want to sacrifice Lacazette, because I would like to keep him and have Partey, and then we can all have a party.
Oh, party, party, party. Well, Jose Jimenez in our chat said, yes, I would love Laka, but if that's what it takes to upgrade, I think quite a few people feel like that. But let's see what happens. We're going to do a transfer show, aren't we? We're going to be live.
And I know Jose Jimenez, and if it's Jose, if you pronounce it like Mourinho, I apologize. yes, we've heard the rumors that our terms have been agreed, but they're haggling over a fee, but we don't know that, right? So it's all speculation. What was your question? What were you saying? Oh, yeah, transfer show. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So this is very exciting. On October 5th, which is transfer deadline day, the Highbury squad are going to be online for a little bit. It's going to be like a transfer deadline day party.
Hopefully.
Do you like that? So we're going to be on air, live on air. And by the way, you can listen to us on Twitch right now. See, these are the laundry list things that I forget. Amanda, where you can listen to us live on Twitch. You can listen to or watch us live on Twitch and Facebook. And as I said, the audio will be available on all those other platforms. But transfer deadline day, the squad is coming. We're going to be bringing it to you, a la Sky Sports News. We should send Kevin.
We need a yellow banner.
I'll get a yellow. I can make it yellow.
We probably won't find anyone.
You know how Kev has really been the driver with the loan deal? And I have too. But now he's not here. What if we sent him out and he was the dude in the car park, you know, with the mic?
Oh, that would be funny if Kev was interviewing three fans standing behind him in the car park.
Oh, it'd be hilarious. But no, jokes aside, we will have a live show on transfer deadline day. And let's hope it's a good day for Arsenal and that we do bring in a couple of additional players to really be competitive in the Premier League and get that top four. You know, the rivalry with Spurs is going to get so ugly this season, yeah, Amanda. Yeah. You know, it's because Mourinho's there too. So everyone hated him before and now he's Tottenham manager. Do you feel it manifesting and just getting worse and worse and worse with them?
I don't think I could have disliked him anymore if he'd have joined Spurs or not. It just makes no difference to me. And when I've watched that programme, which I've given up watching because I did actually get bored on that All or Nothing show, I got bored because it became like the Mourinho show. And to be honest, I just said to my other half, you carry on watching, I can't be arsed.
He's so narcissistic. But,
yeah, and I just find it hilarious that Aubameyang signs that day and they bring back an injured Gareth Bale on loan and they feel like they've got one up on us.
I know.
And I'm like, Aubameyang is a bit different to Gareth Bale, but let them be as delusional as normal. Let them live in their world, in their, as they call it, the toilet bowl. And we'll live in our world and hopefully we'll be able to party on.
It would be great. What are you doing with the rest of Friday night?
Well, it's 8:10 here now. I would like to relax from work because it's just been rush, rush, rush. I'm just going to chill, babe, and look forward to Monday night's football, really.
Excellent. Yeah. I think I'm going to take a motorcycle ride down to the beach.
Oh, I hate you. Oh.
I think we've earned it this week, Amanda. We've earned our crust. We've worked hard. You can go off and enjoy your Friday night. Everyone will be back. What's the date today? Friday. So we'll be back
26th
next week.
September. Yeah, Tuesday? We'll be back next week.
Tuesday for a live show. Also, look out for maybe some daily sound bites that we'll be putting out as well. There's going to be a lot more content coming from the Highbury squad this season. Right. That is
one more
it.
Thing. You can go and join us on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Twitch is, but she does that way, actually. I've got no clue about anything. She tells me all these things that she's doing, all these lovely new things that we've got. It's all down to her. I just turn up and do what I'm told. But, let us know what you'd like on the Highbury squad because we love getting, like, fans on. Robbie from Arsenal Fan TV is going to come back. And
we've got Alison Bender coming
we've
on.
Got quite a few girls coming on.
Yeah, we do. We're going to have Rebecca Lowe, who is just one of the best, in my opinion, in terms of presenting on TV. And she does the NBC show here. We've got a lot of fun.
We have.
And we're going to have another episode of the Evergreen series coming out soon as well. Yeah. So look out for that. And then maybe Super Kev will return at some point, and maybe we should start a little bit of a, you know, I don't know, something, Amanda. Maybe we should send him out on loan. What do you think?
Yeah, he's going on loan. I'm not going anywhere.
Why don't you tell everyone what they should, there's only one way to end the show, really, isn't there?
Oh, always. There's always, always, always only one way to end this show. Thank you, everyone. Thanks for your retweets. Thanks for everything. But it's always Arsenal.